listeners, and welcome to Experience Grind Podcast, the podcast about getting older and the experiences we gain from movies, games, and pop culture. I'm Ryan, your host for this episode, and if you didn't know, it's Japanuary, or at least it is for this 1 week, and then the other 3 weeks are something different. But this week, it's Japanuary, and I wanted to talk about a recent favorite movie of mine with y'all, Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. This is a Japanese time loop movie, a la Groundhog's Day, but it's confined to 2 minutes instead of like a full daily restart, which I thought was pretty noteworthy and maybe worth talking about and sharing with you guys. So, luckily, we're doing that this week, and, I guess first up is, Kyle. Since we're talking about a time loop and kind of like what happens in it, who are you in a time loop? If you found yourself in a time loop, what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? What do you do?
I can tell you right now, I am in a time loop, and this is a message from the future. And 2 minutes past me will say, "Go fuck yourself."
In 2 minutes past you will. I mean, you did say it, so that makes sense.
Did he?
In 2 minutes, he will have had.
Don't, it's like time travel. True, don't think about it too
it's
hard.
It's counting right now.
Just enjoy the ride. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So, moving on. Sean, same thing. You're in a time loop. What do you do? What's the first thing you do?
I'm figuring out how to make money off of this. Because eventually, here's the thing. Eventually, if I can get out of that time loop, it's the first thing that I'm doing anyways. So might as well figure out how to do it fast and then just work it into that routine. Especially if it's one of those actual like Groundhog Day things where the day fully starts over, as opposed to this where it's like a rolling 2 minutes, like a rolling forward 2 minute time loop. Yeah, that's going to be the way to do it.
Interesting. So you immediately try to exploit it. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Brian, same question. Are you with Sean? Do you exploit the system immediately? What do you do in this scenario? Or a scenario like this?
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind Podcast, the show about getting older and experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, and pop culture. This week, we're talking about Tiptoes.
No, can we not do
we're
this?
We're in a loop
time
now,
loop?
Baby. It's too late.
All right. Oh, BRB, man. Checking stocks for last week.
God, no, I would sleep. I would finally catch up on sleep.
I like it. All right.
I would live the
go
life
fuck
of
yourself.
Leisure. Like Wow. I had already forgotten. That was pretty good. I gotta give it to you. I think I would live the life that Andy Samberg does in Palm Springs.
I see. Just ultimate enjoyment, trying to just have fun, do whatever you can.
And avoiding J.K.
Simmons. Nothing matters.
Yeah.
I like it. I think I would be in the similar situation as you. I would like to catch up on a lot of things that I don't have time for. I'd be in no rush. Well,
I can't think of many situations where I'd want to be avoiding J.K. Simmons. So,
only when he's trying to murder you.
Yeah, he's coming at you with a crossbow.
But also,
he does not
you die,
seem
you wake
like a very
right
believable.
Back up. So,
yeah.
Have you ever seen Anyways. Oz?
Oh.
Nope.
Whew. He's very believable in that one.
I'd say Whiplash
J.K.
is pretty
Simmons
close
is
too.
Always very believable.
That too.
All right, well...
He just has a lovable face. Anyways, back to you, Ryan.
No worries. He weirdly does have a weird, old, lovable face. Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes, have you all heard of this movie? Have you seen it?
Have not heard of it. Did not know it existed.
You put it so well last week, Ryan, when you said, I left it in the chat because you guys are going to have to come back and see what the name of this movie was. And
yeah,
you were right.
And speak
I didn't
for
have
all
to...
of us and sorry, yeah, and just say no.
And I didn't have to look at what the title was, but I was like, what was it? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And I just typed in 2 minutes and saw what came up. And I'm like, that was it. That's nice. The one.
2 minutes. That's the name of my sex tape.
Boom.
I think that refers to Patreon. You'll find out on Friday.
We are a time loop in Experience Grind Podcast. We are a TV that shows the future and the past at all times. It is a conundrum. Well, I thank you guys for taking a chance on this one with me. Like I said, this is a really kind of small movie that I don't think many people know about. But we're going to hop into the story. I'm going to break that down, and then we'll get into our categories. Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes is a micro-budget sci-fi comedy where a cafe owner, Kato, discovers that his computer monitor can show him exactly 2 minutes into the future. What starts as a fun party trick quickly spirals into a chaotic chain of cause and effect as a group of friends run up and down staircases trying to outsmart time itself. Using the knowledge of the future, Kato will have to save his love interest Megumi from gang members, time cops, paradoxes, and much more. With that, I want to hear somebody else talk about this. I would like to hear Ryan. What are your thoughts
Me?
On the story? Yeah.
On the story? Man, at first I was like, okay, this is kind of simple. This isn't going to be. And then as it expounds and they start playing with the monitor placement and the TV to see further into the future, I was like, this is absolutely insane, and I love it. I had so much fun watching this movie. It was, I mean, not to, you know, bury the lead. I was very impressed with the filmmaking and the story. The story, still very simple, but told in the most complicated way possible. And I love that. I had a blast with this, and I'm going to be giving it a 5 because I can't. There's still so much of it that I can't wrap my head around. And yeah, so with that, I would like to hear what Sean thinks.
This story was so simple, but so complexly told, I think is what you said, Brian. I was suffering from a migraine like all day today, like one of those ones that just like really makes you feel like sick. And I love thinky movies, but man, there got to a point in this movie where I'm like, this movie is making me want to throw up. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, because it was really one of those, holy shit, for a movie that's seriously pretty one note, like one layer, it's a one layer movie. They somehow managed to take that one piece of paper and just fold it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until it's got like 100 different layers. And like, it felt like every couple of minutes, they just needlessly added like 5 more layers, but I appreciated it. And it just like, it went to the point where I'm like, this is so fucking extra. This is so extra, what the hell. It's very predictable. I thought the story very predictable. You can see pretty much everything that's coming, you know what's going to happen pretty much from the offset of the movie. But then it like introduces these men in black time and space people like that just show up in a blink and you miss it thing like halfway through the movie, and then they just have this massive role for like 2 minutes at the end, and it's, this shit's batshit, and I'm gonna go a 5. Like, regardless of, like, the feeling. Yeah, because even the dialogue, while sometimes does feel a little contrived, it does kind of, like, everybody has their own personality, and it doesn't seem unrealistic. It seems contrived because I'm not that person, but people are totally like that. But, so yeah, 5. And Ryan, you
cut out.
You, yeah, you cut Ryan. Out.
Sorry.
Oh,
okay. Story. Interesting. I was kind of anticipating closing this out. I'm not going to try to step on anything Kyle wants to say because I feel like it's more fresh coming from y'all. I want to hear yours much more than
hold
myself.
Hold up, Ryan. Kyle, I want to hear from you.
There we go. All right.
I had other things I was going to say, but I wanted to piggyback off something you mentioned at the end of yours quickly, Sean. And you said something about like the everybody, you could see people as those types. Myself, like Ryan likes a lot of Asian cinema. I am much more of a Japanophile. But for that reason, like, I love this movie because of the Japanese-ness of it. The way all the characters, especially, and we'll get into characters more, so I won't dwell too much on this. I really enjoyed Kamiya, the second male friend that comes in with the red cardigan. But just the over excitement of a lot of the characters, I really appreciate that. It puts them into their own archetype sort of thing, which
like
is
the stoner buddy.
Staple of Japanese storytelling. What I was going to start out saying is that you have essentially two types of time travel movie. You have Primer, which is real fart sniffy, and you have Back to the Future, which is real fun sniffy. This movie is a fun sniffy in the best way possible. Both my other two co-hosts mentioned the story, especially Sean giving him a headache, and I'm not saying I'm more intelligent than either of them, but I was the exact opposite. I really enjoyed how simple this movie was to follow. I think keeping it confined to 2-minute sections really made it easy to understand and follow. Even when they brought in the infinite TVs, you understood where like kind of each one was in relationship to it. And I thought it was brilliantly told. I am also, again, like my good buddy Ryan, an absolute sucker for a oner. You give me a movie that the whole thing is a oner, I'm in. 70 minutes, solid. This movie passed the phone test with flying colors. I wasn't interested in it for a moment. I was hooked from the moment it kicks off, because it really gives us, from the start, it doesn't waste any time. He closes the shop, goes upstairs, can't find his pick, and he's talking to himself from the past or the future. No, it's the past. Future. Wild shit. All this to say, roundabout, see, I am obviously more intelligent because I still understand the movie. I don't need somebody to explain it to me now.
Right. You don't have to tell me if it was the past or the future. I know.
Long roundabout, very winded way to say, I'm also, unfortunately, and I hate you for it, you motherfucker, out of 5. And I give it to you, you motherfucker. Please take it away.
Before you pass it to him, one of the things you said, I agree with, that at a certain point I was counting monitors to see like how many minutes it was going to be before we saw that happen on screen. And that was just a fun little thing. Go ahead, Ryan.
I think you all did a very good job of covering it. I'm happy you all responded to the story, even Sean with your migraine, because that sucks. That's just awful. And this is definitely not the best movie for that, but
it was only the TVs. Like I assume the illusion, the optics of the TVs. I was just like, oh my eyes started to cross. I was like, holy shit.
The trust effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm with Kyle on a bit of this. I think the narrative's very smartly constructed, and this 2-minute time limit is really brilliant. How they essentially, it's just a bunch of 2-minute segments. Each little piece of movie, it's just two pieces of movie that they then try to link together, and they do it in a very smart way. Because if you think about this from any kind of, and maybe this is not story, this is an execution, so I'm going to save that. Hold it. The narrative is very smart. It's very well constructed. The story is really good. All this is really brilliant. I think the way they introduce the time travel stuff is like really kind of smart, or the time loop stuff is smart. They make it approachable for all audiences. It's not like Primer or something where they really expect you to keep up, and if not, fuck you. Or a Christopher Nolan type movie like Tenet or something. Like, if you don't get it, too tough tits. Like, that's it. You're out. This movie takes its time to explain to everybody. Like, they
go fuck yourself.
They have a dumb friend in here to explain to. So, Jesus, like, the Christ. Dumbest person the audience can be explained to. It's really, I think, very clever in that respect. And it's really inclusive and cool. And this is how you get people into this kind of shit, is by not making it like a smart elitist club kind of thing. I can enjoy those movies, but they are a bit pretentious. Yeah. And they keep people out, which is not great. I think that's all really well done. And I agree with Sean. I think the dialogue and all of this is also really good and well done. I think it adds into the characters and makes them pop in different ways, because they're all seen very short bursts. And so they kind of need to be a little bit archetypal. But again, this all blends into characters too. So I'm going to shut up and just say stories at a 5 for me as well. I love the story here. And I'm a sucker for time loop stuff and the, sucker.
Mm-hmm.
With that, characters, and this is going to cover antagonists, protagonists, supporting characters, and the casting. I want to hear what Sean has to say.
I think I say this pretty much any time we do a foreign flick of this region. I have no idea of, how the casting went. All I can go from is how I feel they do to portray the character and how visually I think they fit that role. It's not like American where it's like, oh, I wish it wasn't Gerard Butler, but instead it was, insert other person that looks exactly like Gerard Butler. So I think, honestly, I wish I could look at American films the way that I do this, because I feel like everybody was like cast perfectly. Like I know no big names. I know no small names. Everybody is on a completely equal foot. And I think everybody played their roles, right? Kyle mentioned Kamiya, like he was like that's the stoner buddy. And like, even in a completely different language, in a different culture, like everything still comes across, and everything that he says is just so unique to him. I loved the characters so much in this movie, just like the breadth of them, that it felt like an actual friend group. So like with that, okay, I feel like the mob guys was the weakest part of this movie. Like you know that it's being insert in there, and you have to have someone, but they were the weakest part of this movie. And even there, it set up such a fun scene and such a series of events that I think that it was worth it ultimately in the end. So I won't remove any points. And I'm going to give it a 5 as well for that. And Ryan, I do want to hear from you this time.
Okay. I am close to where you are. The antagonist is an interesting one to come at, because you could say the gangsters are the antagonist, maybe the time police are the antagonist, or time itself is the antagonist. I either way you look at it, I think time itself being the antagonist is probably the strongest antagonist of the three, but if you're going with the other two, I'm with you. I don't think the antagonists are very strong, but they don't really have to be. They're just kind of momentary obstacles to be overcome. Mostly with the time gimmickry. And so it's all in service of that. So I do think the characters, I think Kyle pointed out, or somebody said archetypal. I'm going to keep coming back to that, because I do think they are a bit simplistic, but I do think you need that, and it's needed here. So I'm not going to be hard on it. And I do really love at the end of the movie when Kato and Megumi are just nicely talking, and they just are able to not have this 2-minute time limit, and you just have a conversation between the two. And in all honesty, the movie wraps up maybe only a few minutes after they start talking, but I could have listened to them keep talking, because it felt really natural, and it was really cool to see this kind of little spark blooming. And I thought it was really sweet and cool. You don't have that moment without at least decent characters. So I'm pretty positive on them. I did notice in the casting, I think most of them are all really well cast. The waitress or helper, Aya, played by Riko Fujitani, I noticed her breaking character quite a few times and laughing when she was maybe supposed to be serious. Not a huge issue. And when you're doing big, long one-er stuff, it's kind of hard to keep straight But I did notice it. Not a huge deal because these are also a bunch of like relatively lower tier Japanese actors too. They're not the A class or the ones people know about. They're relatively indie actors. So like keeping all that in mind, I'm maybe not as positive as Sean, but I'm going to be still positive. I think I'm at a 4, just a solid straight 4. Let's hear from Kyle.
I won't beat around the bush. You nailed it. I'm also with you. I think it's a 4. They're fine characters, but it's a staple of the Japanese storytelling type to have those broad, very... It's unfair to say one-dimensional, but they're very obvious, I guess, is maybe the word. It's hard to explain. But yeah, a 4. It's not perfect, but it's so damn enjoyable, and I loved it. So, yeah. Brian?
Yeah, Brian, I agree with what you guys said.
Can you bully me down to a 4?
Can I? Yeah, I can.
Thanks.
I agree with all of you guys then. I was going to say everybody but Sean, but no, it's, yeah. I agree that the antagonists, no matter which way you slice it, are a little weak and exaggerated, it felt like, to a level that they didn't need to be. Almost caricaturized. Which I know is something that you're going to...
It's such a...
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you do want them characterized to a certain level, but you don't want it to go into tropey territory. And yeah. But I agree also with Ryan with the ending there that I could have watched them talk. And it's funny because for a lot of the movie, I was like, it feels like our main character here, Kato, doesn't even want to be there. He's not enjoyable. By the end of the movie, I find myself smiling that he's talking to this girl finally and they're getting along. And yeah, and I was like, holy shit, okay, something there clicked with me. So yeah, for me, it's a 4.
I like that it gave the backstory of why she was reluctant because of the musician aspect too. And she's like, hey, I was maybe a little harsh earlier. Sorry about that. I just used to date a guy and it didn't go great. Sucked. So.
Uh-huh. I love great, how they left all of the character development to like the last 90 seconds of the movie. And that's why I feel like I could have listened to it for so much longer as well, because it's like you watch these characters for 70 minutes and you're just like, wow, they're interesting watching them. And then once they started talking, I was like, tell me more. I really do want to know about what happened with your boyfriend and his band. So hit me with it.
So that then leads us to style, which is going to incorporate tone, visuals, sound, and music. Ryan, who do you want to kick it off? Is that how it goes, or do I kick it off? Is it the last person? Did I break?
I think you just wanted to pick who you want to start, but however you want to.
Then I would like Brian to start, since he had it last time.
I had it first in story, so...
Oh, shit. I don't keep track of this so well.
Keep ping-ponging. No, it's fine. Style. This is clearly very, 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 very low budget. You could tell with lighting and things like that, but God damn it if it isn't so impressive they pulled this off as a one-shot. Or you know, at least stylistically a one-shot. There's clearly places where they did clever cuts, but the thought that has to go into it to line up your video that's playing on these two monitors and then record that, and then you have to put it back on the monitor, and like to do that a bunch of times and then also have to act against it, it's just very impressive. And I'm sure I'm going to be giving insane marks for direction. But style, music, I didn't really recognize any. I don't know if there ever even was any, because it would have probably had to have been diegetic. And then you get into a messy situation with the loop. So I'm at like, I'm struggling between a 3 and a 4 here, honestly. Like I know this could be done better, but like at $19,000 American, this is insanely impressive. So I think I have to go with the 4. And I would like to hear from Kyle.
Well, again, I'm in full agreement with you. I'm not as waffly as you because I'm looking at 3 as like the base, and I believe this is far and above like the base level of what somebody, like if I tried to do this movie, well, I would be a 1. But so getting ahead of myself.
The base is 1.
Nobody come to his defense.
Or 0. No, I could not do anything remotely close to this. It's not perfect, but it's close because it nails almost every damn aspect. And to be honest with you, I can't quantify what keeps it from that 5 level, but there is just a something there. But I feel very happy with giving this a 4. I think it earns a 4. And I want to give it to Shore. Sean.
Man, I thought I was going to come in here and have to, like, fight for the it's not a 1 cut or a 1 shot. Because, like, I went into it being like, oh, man, this is an absolute 1 shot. And then I expected to come in here and be like, I do not believe for a second that those 2 spots that I can pick out specifically,
oh, there's
where
like
they just 18. Linger on a wall for 3 seconds or they are in a dark spot for several seconds. Yeah, it's like you can't tell me. With that being said, I think honestly, with it being it is advertised, it is described as a 1 shot. It is not, and it honestly did affect my thought.
Did they call it a 1 shot, like, or do they call it a 1er? Because that is a difference.
It is technically it's a Nagamawashi, which is a 1 take Japanese movie.
Okay. So maybe it's just a translation thing.
So, I mean, that goes down to how I interpreted that. And it did ding it for me because it did feel a little misleading in terms of that style. Alternatively, I actually enjoyed the movie in this. I loved the little Japanese pop or indie song at the end. Like, I thought that that was great.
Pretty good.
And the words are also like the movie, fucking batshit. But that might be a translation thing. I don't know. I think there's a lot of really impressive things that are done. And especially if you watch the end of the movie and they show like a lot of the how it was made thing, where it's literally just like an iPhone and a boom mic and like really, really clever ways, like how they got the blood on the knife from the stab. Like, that was really clever and really cool to see from the alternate point of view. This is a lot of words to say. Like, I am gonna go a 3, but I think that might be a limit on their budget, but it can't really, like, I can't just give them a pass for that. I think they did a fantastic job, but I think you'll make up for it in direction. Ryan.
I think I'm right with Brian. I'm real waffly between a 3 and a 4. I'm not a solid 4, and I'm not a solid 3 like Kyle and Sean. And it's, again, I think I just would parrot pretty much everything Brian would say, so I'm not going to do that and just say it's a 3. Or, sorry, no, I'm a 3. It's a 4 for me, because I'm parroting Brian.
I've never seen someone panic so hard over a number.
Wait, no.
No, don't write it down.
It's etched in stone. Don't do it. That's what happened with the 10 Commandments. But, like, God realized halfway through he 15. Fucked up and couldn't start again.
I got to keep those, neighbor. I guess. Fuck. That's not the right word.
I bring you these 15... 10 Commandments.
Oh shit.
All right. Cool. Well, with that, we're gonna jump to entertainment value, which is the enjoyability, the success, and the reception of the movie. Let's start off with Sean on this one. I
enjoyed the hell out of this Ryan movie,
Sean,
boys.
Ryan, Sean.
With all that being said about like super low budget, visually very low budget, like it also just looked like it didn't need to be really big. It was just a POV in a coffee shop, just kind of following them around. Like, if you shot this with a $1 million budget, be like, why did you do that? That doesn't make any sense. So like there is a certain charm that is lended to this in terms of my enjoyability. It captured me. I never wanted to look at my phone. I had an absolute blast as like everything just, as I said earlier, just folded and folded and folded and just got so needlessly complex. I fucking loved every second of it. And the fact that it's 70 minutes. Guys, I've had the week of hell from at work and I was there for an extra 3 hours for no fucking reason today. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm not going to have time to watch this. And I get home and I watch it. I still have 2 hours to spare. It was fantastic. It's a five. It's a five banger. Kyle.
I gave you this movie because my next choice is Avatar 1 and 2 at the same time.
Fuck you, Ryan.
I'm with you. I mean,
get a peanut allergy and eat peanuts.
It's unfair, and I think we should put a moratorium on Ryan bringing more Asian cinema to us because it's been a cheat code.
The last I can bring you times. Bad Asian cinema too if
no,
you want.
I'm playing. I enjoy the fuck out of this, and that's why is amazing because I've never heard of this until you brought it up. I'd never searched for it. This is why I love you because you bring me these things. This was entertaining as hell, and at 70 minutes, it's quickly digested. It's not a complaint for me. I could see other people complaining because it's a foreign film and they have to read it, but those people are dipshits and I don't give a fuck what they think. So
I can't watch TV without subtitles to begin with. So.
Same.
It's entertaining. Like I said, it's not up its own ass. It's fun. I enjoyed the absolute shit out of this movie and I was 100% sold and I told people at work about it when the time police showed up. That was such a fucking great, just out of left field thing. And then they get tricked and disappear like Back to the Future. Huh, great touch. Also, I love when they're watching the boss in the fight and they're bringing him random items, but they still don't know if he lives. So they keep saying, I hope you live. I hope you live. Just
you're real
it's
cool.
It's funny as hell. It's listed as black humor, but it wasn't really like I didn't get that aspect. It's just it's a funny, quirky little indie film. It's great. It's five.
If anything, there's a lot of dryness just in the way that people talk and like the dry humor just from things people say. I'm a sucker for it, man. Mm-hmm. In my veins.
Who does that leave, or was I last one?
Ryan and Brian.
Oh. Brian.
Five. Come on. This never looked down for a second. This thing started, and sometimes because of reading purposes, because I'm one of those dipshits, it takes me a little bit longer to get into one of these subtitled movies. Sometimes I could just go, come on, you couldn't have dubbed it, but I'm so glad it didn't. But once I was in, and it didn't take long with this one, like by the time he was looking for his pick, I was like, cool, let's do this. And then nonstop till the last scene. And then I went, holy shit, they shot some of this on an iPhone? Were actual words that came out of my mouth. Five. Ryan.
Yeah, it's a five. Easy. It's short, punchy, to the point, doesn't overstay its welcome. It's endlessly fucking clever. On my third watch this time, I felt just as invested. I think it still holds up because of like that 2-minute time limit. It just keeps moving. It's so well paced. And even this time, now I'm gonna save that for direction. Talking reception about this movie, like I know this was a critical darling and like it aired at like or it played at a bunch of film festivals. Fucking they ate it up. Like I think Fantastic Fest specifically, like this is where I heard it, was like reports of Fantastic Fest in 2021 maybe. Like you gotta see this movie. This is like if you like time travel movies or time loop movies, this is one of the most clever things I've seen, and it's shot on like no budget. Like it's real Kevin Smith like go get them energy. I'm like, cool, I'm in. And it's that. And I've been entertained three times, and I would easily watch this movie a fourth time. Five.
No, what I find really, 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 really entertaining about this movie is it was about, I don't know, 20 minutes into this movie when I'm like, okay, it's a time loop, but literally they can just turn off a TV at any time. And it's, they are not trapped in anything. I want to make that clear to listeners that may not have, like, for some reason gone and watched this. It's free on Prime. It's on Tubi. Like, they are not trapped in anything. It is your own curiosity of what you can do and what you can see that keeps themselves trapped in this, because who's going to give that up, right? It's such an interesting concept that's so entertaining.
It's true. And it's a group of characters, and if even just one of them keeps it going, it keeps it going for everybody. So,
right.
Did I give story five? Because
yeah,
I feel like that. Oh man, okay. Did we give story bonus point? No, it's fine.
Oh, I'd end it. I'm very sorry. Let's hear from Kyle.
What are we on?
Direction?
This was
Did I finish entertainment value? Was I the last one?
You sure did.
Oh, I'm so sorry. In that case, then direction is next. And that is vision and execution of the director. And this is Junta Yamaguchi. I'll just start real quick because I know a bit about him. He's only done two short films before this. And they were both like 5 and 17 minutes long. So like, this is really technically his first movie, and I think it's super confidently handled. I think it's very well executed. I was meaning to talk about this in entertainment value, but on my rewatches, everything holds up. The logic is sound. I was counting the rings in the TV as we were going scene by scene, because now I have seen this movie so many times. I can just do that. I can tune out of the characters because I already know what's going to happen. And be that pedantic asshole who's like, did they really do this? They really did this. They took the time and figured out the logic of everything. And I think it all fucking holds up. And that alone, to do that in a movie that is also entertaining and you guys had fun with. And even if you don't care about like the logic and whatever, and you're like, it's time travel or time loops, don't think about it too hard. It still works and it's still fun. But it also did the work, and you can think about it, and it fucking holds, and it's really interesting. This is a 5. I think this is a bold vision. His next movie, which I hope we do at some point, River, does what happens in an actual time loop, which maybe Sean will appreciate. Not this kind of weird time loop, but like the day resets, but every 2 minutes for the whole town in a radius. And everybody resets, and everybody knows they are resetting. And what do they do with that information to escape the town that is resetting? That's his next movie, which is River. And it's equally fucking just like, how did you think of all this shit? I love the creativity on display here. I love the passion in like this time, the dissection of time. I think it's so fascinating. I hope he keeps making movies. I love it. 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5s. And with that, who's going to bring me down? I don't think anybody can bring me down, but maybe Sean might get closest?
I don't know why you think I would bring you down.
I don't know. I think
I'm glad that you're that pedantic asshole that is counting that stuff. Because I couldn't, I obviously didn't have the time to take the time to try to figure this out. But I was like, is it really going to the exact minutes that they're supposed to? Is that happening right now? So I'm glad that you've done the work and checked that out. Junta Yamaguchi also was the cinematographer on this. Does that have anything to do with the way that like the scene is set up? Because if so, like, I was having such a fun time just like looking at all of the different aspects of this cafe, like from the table choices to that weird divider bookshelf looking thing that had plants on the other side. Like, I was invested in checking this place out, and it was beautiful for something, again, shot on a fucking iPhone. Like, it is gorgeous. I think the idea that Yunta was bringing to the table was absolutely crushed out of the park. And by all means possible, how fucking long are his monitor power cords?
That was, like, the least believable part of the movie.
For real. Like, I was like, how the hell are you dragging this up 5 flights of stairs? Plugged in. This is insanity. All of that to be said, like, I think absolutely knocks it out of the park. I am fascinated to watch River. It looks like another restaurant thing where they're stuck in an actual 2-minute time loop, which is fucking wild. I'm super hyped to check out that 36,000 seconds in a day. Like, hell yeah. Sign me up for everything. This is a 5. Like, this guy rules. Brian.
Man, this movie was so much fun. And just that little glimpse we get in the credits of, like, what went into creating this. There's a specific shot in the end credits of one of the actors acting against themselves in the previous take to match up their motions. So when they go again, he knows exactly how to move to mirror what he did in the previous 2-minute sequence. It's absolutely bonkers. And the amount of attention to detail that goes into this is insane. And you can tell that it's definitely a vision, because Junji Yamaguchi is the director, the cinematographer, and also the editor. So, like, this thing all came together because, man, just the vision. I want to give it a 6. I'm going 6 on direction, and then I'll let Kyle close it out.
I mean, again, I've sung this movie's praises. It's to make anybody who can make a competent time travel movie is already smart. To make a movie in of itself that's easy enough to follow along is a difficult endeavor by itself. To add in all this other shit, and then you're the one doing it and planning it out, it's complexity on a level that I can't comprehend to, like, even contemplate. And just, again, somebody else's ability to do all that together on such a smaller scale. This isn't like a billion-dollar blockbuster that has thousands of people all, like, putting in input, which could help and could take some of that weight off. But this is all one guy with the vision, man. It's 5, and I'm glad Brian gave it the 6.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Another thing I look at, like, when we do these on Brian's cheat sheet is, like, the release year. And whenever I see, like, 2020, it always puts me in this weird situation of trying to figure out the dates and what to, you know, where this really placed itself in terms of that whole year. And I'm sure, like, this was shot prior to, you know, February, March, when shit got crazy. But then, like, a release of June 5 is, it's just such a weird, weird time for something like this to come out. And, you know, if people are at home and they stumble upon this, if they could, like, I could only imagine when they're like, stay home, everybody, finding this, man, I would have went down some.
Oh, yeah.
Obsessing.
I probably would have been shooting movies on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Just one person, one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just see Brian in the background tossing on a wig that he got from Amazon. That.
Brian is just every character.
Yeah.
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 Like that new, like, Bruno normal. Mars video.
Oh.
Or yeah, or like the clumps.
I the went clumps. Bing John Malkovich.
I say Norbert.
Norbert.
Well, that is going to give us a total score on Beyond the Infinite 2 minutes of a 92. Which, if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes, critical score is a 99, audience score is a 90. We are right in between those. We are higher than the IMDb and the Letterboxd, though, which IMDb is at a 7.2 and the Letterboxd is at a 3.9.
Which makes me think, shouldn't, like, okay, if audiences on Rotten Tomatoes are given a 90 here, shouldn't like the other ones be a little bit more, you know, along those lines think? Since it's all audience scored anyways?
Because audience on Rotten Tomatoes is how fresh they are, the percentage. So the average audience score is a 7.2 on IMDb and 3.9 in Letterboxd. But on Rotten Tomatoes, you don't know what the average score is. It's just 90% of them were 6.0 out of 10 or higher. That's all you know. This is why I hate Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So it could be like 90% of people gave it a 65.
Yes, and it would be every critic can give a movie a 6 out of 10 and say I had a positive experience with it, and it's a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yes.
Yep.
The most mid-ass movie that pleased everybody is super high in Rotten Tomatoes, and this is why the score system is fucking broken.
There was nothing offensive about this movie. Yep. 100.
It does this not fit. This is why you look for the 50s and 60s in Rotten Tomatoes, because they're the interesting ones that split audiences.
Anything that has a giant split.
Yep.
This is why I go by IMDb and just add a point.
Yeah.
Because like that's my general rule of thumb. IMDb plus 1 or plus 1.5.
Plus 3, 4, 5 if it's a majority woman cast or other ethnicity cast.
Minority, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But in general, yeah. Mm-hmm. God damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is a weird system. But it's good to see that we lined up with most everybody, if not ended up on the positive side of some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you for bringing this along. I really appreciate it. Awesome. There is so many good flicks. Like, I'm pretty sure The Handmaiden was also on Prime, and I'm not pushing anybody to give Bezos some money. He sure as hell doesn't need it. But I'm glad that I have Prime for shipping and stuff. And I'm glad that I had I have a free way to watch these I have a free way to watch these movies that I don't have to pay extra for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a treasure trove on there.
That's always nice. Yeah, if you like foreign movies, especially foreign B movies, Amazon's got so fucking many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, B movie boys. That's like a pirate's booty chest on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. This is actually our third straight week of the show being available, or the movie being available on Tubi, too. So
yeah.
Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
Three straight weeks of Tubis.
Gotta love amazing. That.
It's okay. The next episode's February, Kyle. You don't have to grimace if it's not on Tubi.
Why?
What?
What? Yeah, that brings me to you, Kyle. Actually, I wasn't anywhere before, so that brings me nowhere. But I'm going to go to you,
I'm
Kyle.
I'm coming at you.
Coming at you. Next week's you, dude. What are you thinking?
This is why I hate following Ryan, because I always shit the bed. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. All right, guys.
Followed up tiptoes. Did that one line up?
Well, so Ryan, first up, back. I think line up? One thing I'm going to try to do going forward, I had this thought this week, is one of the things I think I have a little more awareness of. I'm going to start trying to bring more YouTube created content.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
So, like original creations, but stuff that you guys have most likely never heard of. Again, I'm going to try to maybe fish it around like Ryan and bring interesting, cool stuff that's unique and different. But
Meet the Johnson.
It's not what I'm doing next week because I wasn't prepared.
I will be you prepared. For the following.
I still don't know what I'm choosing next week. I need you guys to help me fucking pick.
Oh,
strange thing about the Johnsons.
And it's not good.
It's not good. You brought only terrible options.
I have three options here, and I will tell you two of these options are both in the
ooh, is this
going to
be a game?
3 hour range?
3 hours.
And these are YouTube creations?
No, that's what I said. This is not YouTube stuff.
Oh, okay, okay.
I wasn't ready
for that.
I know.
I might actually be more into a 3 hour YouTube thing than a 3 hour movie, depending on.
Well, so here's the thing. One is a It's like 2 hours, 48 minutes movie.
It's Avatar.
One is a pretty great comedy movie. That's not 3 hours. That's the one that's not 3 hours. And then the other option I have is 6 30-minute episodes of a series.
That's a little bit easier, I think, because you can break it up.
That's my thoughts, too, and that's why I had the idea.
Fascinating.
It's another one I kind of wanted to bring with more advance notice. Show? But again, it is a British show. Yeah. Ryan's picking up on some things. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm here for this. Oh, is it the cleaner? Let's do it.
So what, you guys want to go with the...
Let's do the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the show...
Okay.
The first six series for series one is a show called The Inbetweeners.
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Greg Davies.
It stars Greg Davies. So that should interest Sean. He's in the show. Uh-huh. All right, I'm excited.
That's it.
The Inbetweeners is a fucking great show. I love this show. Another friend of mine turned me on to it. And it's one of the, like, from the first episode, it hooks you. And I think one of the reasons I like it so much, and this is why I'm curious to have you guys watch it now, is to me, it's a fantastic coming-of-age tale. It's young men learning who they are and trying to make sense of this fucked up, crazy world we live in. But it's,
and the experiences they gain along the way.
There are four of them in this friend group. It's pretty
great.
They
all kind of fit our personalities.
A little bit. So
think about that when you come in.
I'm glad. I'm very glad.
Pick them out.
Do you guys want to know what the other two options were?
Yeah. A little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So the 3 hour movie, and it's one, it probably will happen at some point because I do love this movie and I haven't seen it for a long time. And we know how well those have gone for us on the show.
It's going to be fucking terrible at 3 hours.
It's Scarface with Al Pacino. Oh, okay.
Never mind.
Have any of you seen Scarface?
Yeah.
I've never seen it because I don't know.
Same.
It's just never interested me.
It's what?
Now I know how you guys feel.
Right? It's weird to be on this side of it, isn't it, Sean?
What?
The other one is another one that I promise you we probably also will get to some point because I love this movie, and it's Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh, that's
fun. I love that one.
It is a great flick, but I am very excited that we're going in between us, boys. And again, series one,
love
six
TV.
Episodes, about 30-ish minutes. It's British, so they can be a little shorter. And they are episodes, so you can split them up. It is a big ask, and I appreciate it. Six episodes before next week, so.
Dude, I'll crank all of those out, like, as bedtime watches. Mm-hmm. I watch British TV, every night to go to sleep.
Because now I also have an excuse to watch it again, and I keep looking at it, and I'm like, man, I should watch The Inbetweeners.
Now we have to.
Where can we watch these, Kyle?
Let's find out real quick together, shall we? Because I don't know if it's on Tubi or anywhere. But I can find out in 1 second.
I have a BritBox subscription through
Amazon. You'll be fine.
Because it was like $80 for an entire year.
So it looks like it's on Prime. Yep, the whole series is on Prime.
Nice, okay.
It's also on Tubi.
Is it? All right, tight.
Look at that.
Fire.
Do they have the movies? There are two movies.
There are two movies. What? Prime, I think, has them.
Well, while they figure that out, folks, if you've enjoyed this little back and forth, and you've definitely heard the Robert De Niro-isms being tossed in there, and you heard our mouth go into a little Muppet, like, very nice, very nice. Kyle definitely said a couple of words like him, and I'm like, you motherfucker, just snapping back in. If you enjoy that stuff, head on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind for as little as, I don't know, a gajillion dollars or one single dollar, whichever you have more available of, you can get an episode for free almost every single week. Patreon.com/experiencegrind or Linktree/experiencegrind, where you'll find socials that we don't use, the Discord that we definitely do use. So join that. Come have some fun. We're always having a blast in there. And there's a link to the Patreon. If you're lazy and want to type in Linktree instead of Patreon, sure.
by all means, be our guest.
Want to find out all about Breakfastception?
Oh, Breakfastception. Breakfastception. Yeah. Cereal Tell everybody side. You know about crepe nolies.
That was bad. I shot myself in the head and my head went the way the bullet. That's not how that
works. Natural.
That's not how
that works. What is this, Tenet?
Robert De Niro would not be impressed.
It's one of those wanted bullets. It curved back around.
Back and to the left.
Just like that.
Don't like it. Could you milk my gun? Could you milk my gun? Ryan, you want to take us out?
Listeners. Okay. Lovely listeners. Okay. Go talk to yourself.
Go drost in yourself.
Go drost yourself. Fuck, that's what I'm gonna say.
You can take it.
Go paradox yourself.
Ha ha!